I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, April 22nd, 2019. And it has been our tradition for many, many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join me in telling the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on tonight's agenda is the approval of the executive session minutes of April 8th.
Michael?
All right. Move that back. Our first item on the agenda is the approval of the executive session minutes of April 8th.
Motion to approve.
All right, we have a motion to approve the executive session minutes by Councilman Goyas. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. The reason for the executive session under Maryland State Open Meeting Laws was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom this public body has jurisdiction or any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. Okay, the next is the approval of the regular session minutes of April 8th.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the regular session minutes of April 8th by Councilman Goyas. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. And lastly, we have the approval of the utility fund work session of April 15th.
Make a motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the utilities fund budget work session minutes of April 15th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Abstain.
Thank you. Thank you. Our second item on the agenda is the presentation by the Worcester Youth and Family Counseling Program. And tonight, providing this update, our Executive Director, Steve Taylor, and Youth Programs Coordinator, Tiffany Scott.
Good evening.
Evening.
Thanks for having us come in tonight. We really appreciate the opportunity to present to you what's been going on with youth programs here in Berlin. We were here about 2 months ago, I think it was, to report to you the status at that time. And tonight I have with me again Tiffany Scott, who's the Youth Programs Coordinator, and she has a slideshow presentation she's going to provide to you tonight.
How are you guys doing today?
It's fine. Great. And Tiffany, if you could aim the microphone. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so our youth programs at our enrichment programs at Worcester Youth and Family that we have, and they're designed from an evidence-based curriculum to help strengthen youth, empower them to become productive members of society. So we do this through providing the youth with knowledge and tools and different techniques so they can make positive decisions through themselves. Some of the different instructional topics that we covered, project planning, public speaking, service learning, as well as conflict resolution. Some of the different things that we, ventures that we got into this year, cooking techniques where we focused on healthy eating, different environmental things such as kayaking, which was physical activity, team building skills. We also got involved in the Youth Environmental Action Summit, and we'll go more in that as we go along. The youth also participated in the Junior Inspire event, and this event was, they got specially invited to this event by Junior Achievement, and it was good they got to have a hands-on experience with different career paths. And what was significant and stood out to me is one of the youth, while we were here, I noticed he kept going up to the Army guys, and he even got to do some pull-ups, and he just kept going over there. So after that, he said that his father really wanted him to go into the Army, but he didn't want to go. But after speaking to the Army guys there, he might be considering it. So it was really a great event. The kids actually took a library tour. We took the youth there, and believe it or not, the majority of them had never stepped foot in the Berlin Library. So they got a chance to see the different resources that the library offers, the free resources, the different things that can help them with their education as far as their homework and whatnot. They got a chance to do different STEM activities along with their peers, and they actually had the library has a big conference room that has a theater projector in there. They got to watch a movie, Wrinkle in Time, that focuses on self-awareness and positive interactions. So it was a great day. And we plan to go back and do some different activities this summer with our Berlin Youth Club at the library. Great partnership opportunity with them as well. The Youth Environmental Action Summit. We would love to thank our Sabres and Worcester Youth and Family, like to thank the council for your support at this event. Again, this event was designed for the youth to come up with an environmental change plan that was important to them. And what was important to them for them to make improvements at Henry Park, where they often go and play basketball. And they wanted to do different things such as make a rain garden where rain runoff often gets their ball wet. So they actually went to this Environmental Action Summit that was at the War Museum in Salisbury last month, and they won the grand prize in the middle school category, which is phenomenal because they didn't even want to go. They were so fearful to go and present that they literally did not want to go, and it took a lot of encouragement from myself and a lot of encouragement from Elise, from Noah, to get them to go. And I said, you know, it's okay to be afraid, and you're going to have fear, but you got to walk through that fear. On the other side of that is greatness, and they did that, and I'm so proud of them. And they got to the event, and by the time the middle of the event, they were engaging with other students from all walks of life, the Tri-County area, and they walked away different men after this event. I'm extremely proud of them. So we're going to get going on this particular project, the Henry Park Environmental Improvement Project, next week, where we're going to start ordering some of the plants, and then we're going to partner with Maryland Coastal Bays and the town of Berlin to get those different things implemented. And they also walked away from this project, too. The other day, we went out to Henry Park to play basketball, and after they had did their lesson, we did got a little physical activity in. And one thing that they noticed was one of the things that they had asked in their proposal about that I took to the Parks Committee was the padding on the back of the court was wearing out, so they wanted a new one. And the Parks Committee said, "Oh, that's already in the works. That's something, you know, don't worry about that." So when we went back out there the other day, it was fixed. So that was incredible to them. They said, "Oh, look, they fixed it." So they feel like they have a voice, you know, and they're taking an interest in their surroundings. So that was really good.
Excuse me. Part of their proposal was also for solar-powered recycling, correct?
Yes. So part of their proposal was they wanted solar-powered trash receptacles closer to the basketball court, because what they saw when they went out there, people were throwing bottles and trash because the trash cans were really far away. But those solar-powered trash receptacles were over $4,000. Oh, wow. So they asked us to add in a low-cost option. So they funded the low-cost option. Very nice. So they'll be getting just, you know, recycling bins and trash cans to put closer to the court, which is a start, you know, just to get them to think about the environment in a more local way instead of, you know, and how it affects them was priceless.
So. And they learned a little bit about budgeting also.
They sure did. Thank you.
Thank you.
So spring celebration. So this was incredible. So this was the other day, and spring celebration, we had the typical things like face painting and sand art that the kids always love. But some of the things that we threw in this year, we threw in Foursquare. You guys remember that? We threw in Foursquare. We had a jump rope contest. We started getting people, you know, physically active, and it was incredible to see. It was parents and kids and, you know, youth and the teenagers were out there for a long time just, you know, being physical active. It reminded me of like a street party, but just a, you know, event where people just come out and they're just having fun and they're being interactive and engaging with one another. So that was really great. I had a really good time. So some of the successes that we had this year, other than the Youth Environmental Action Summit, we've created a lot of community partnerships with our youth programs. For example, the Sages Girls, they supported, you know, one another through various traumas and hardships they've been experiencing. And they've also helped out with our different, like, bus stop snack checks that we do out in the community. So they've been very engaged in service learning hours. And then our youth Yaz Award, it's going to have a lasting effect for these boys. And that's very, all these different things that you see listed on here is, through them participating in that Youth Environmental Action Summit, they've learned all these different things. And I'm excited with some of the upcoming things that we have coming up. Some of the upcoming events and future plans that we have is we're doing the, of course, Berlin Youth Club summer planning right now. Some of the things we already have on the schedule is we're going to be partnering with Assateague Coastal Trust to do some different crabbing, CSI different type of thing, hands-on activities with the kids. Of course, kayaking we're going to be doing. We're also going to be partnering with Worcester County Parks and Rec. They're going to be doing a basketball league out to Henry Park. So I'm going to be out there assisting with that on Saturday starting in June, I believe. So we're going to be partnering with them and hopefully getting some of our youth out there as well. And then our Sabres boys group has some upcoming events that, along with the community engagement events, they're going to be serving lunch to the ladies at the Berlin Senior Center. So that's going to be on May 9th. So I'm excited about that. So they're getting more involved with the community and giving back and learning that they have to, you know, give a little to get a little. So I'm proud of them. And also, the Sages Girls is going to be having a community mother-daughter movie night screening, and that's to be determined.
I think the one of the important messages we want to convey is that a lot of times we're taking small steps with these kids, but then something like the Environmental Youth Summit comes along, and it's a huge step. They've taken ownership of their community. They understand the importance of partnership and engaging others. And they learn from that experience how they can make this community better and stronger than it currently is. And so that's a valuable lesson that will never be taken away from these kids. So that's just an important point that I wanted to mention. I also want to thank the local business owners. Many of the business owners provide services to our kids at no charge at all. And they're bringing food, and they're doing a lot of different things for the kids that we don't have to spend money on. So we're really grateful for that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Steve or Tiffany?
I just have a comment.
Good job.
I believe that we all are a product of our experiences. And I'd like to thank you for enhancing the experiences of these young folks. I think you do a great job. And I just want to say keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And possibly suggest, do you have a partnership with the Upward Bound program?
No, we don't. We can certainly look into that. I think there's a group in Salisbury that we can connect with.
I think that would be another great resource for your organization.
Okay, we'll look into that. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, third item on our agenda tonight is the first reading of Ordinance 2019-01, which is the business license fees ordinance updated.
Right. It's actually business license fee late penalty changes. So I had brought this to the Mayor and Council on April 8th with a recommendation to increase the late penalty to the allowable maximum of 24% to enable the transfer of unpaid penalties to businesses' water bills as appropriate, and to make it a misdemeanor infraction to fail to obtain or renew a business license. At that meeting, it was requested that we add publication of the names of the late payers to the process. And so the attachment that you have to the staff report, the actual ordinance, reflects that. The town staff created a committee of several department directors, economic and community development, finance director, planning director, and myself, as well as the administrative services director, to look at the feasibility of streamlining our process, which we did. And in that process, we identified a challenge when it comes to getting folks to pay their business license fee on time. As of the 1st of March, about 12% or 28 businesses have not paid. And so we're recommending a change to the late penalty schedule to assist in more prompt payments. Currently, we believe they're not set high enough to motivate businesses to pay on time. While the majority of businesses do pay on time, staff is spending time and energy and money on submitting additional invoices and follow-up phone calls to get folks to pay. Transferring the late penalties to water bills ensures those penalties will be paid or the property is subject to disconnection for water services. This approach would only work in cases where the business and the property owner are the same. And in conclusion, it's an inefficient use of town resources to reissue invoices and make phone calls for businesses that aren't paying their licenses on time. So attached to the staff report, you have ordinance number 2019-01, an ordinance of the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin, Maryland, a Maryland Municipal Corporation amending Article 2, Business Licenses, Section 8-28, Licensing Periods, Penalties, and Interest. And I'd ask the town attorney if he needs me to read the ordinance in its entirety. Okay. Then I would draw your attention to the attachment to the staff report, which is the ordinance in particular, Section 8-28, Licensing Periods, Penalties, and Interest. Subsection B is in boy, which sets the late penalty at 5% of the fee and publication of the names of the businesses if they fail to pay within 30 days after the license is due. After that, failure to pay will result in the following penalties. No payment within 60 days will result in a 12% increase in the fee. No payment within 90 days will result in a 24% increase in the fee. There's also in subsection C, the town reserves the right to transfer the fee and penalties to the business's water bill. And then there's an additional section which we're recommending that you include, which makes it a municipal infraction so that the planning director could cite businesses that don't have a license. As part of this, I mentioned in the staff report, we will be checking to make sure that business licenses are posted as required, which is already existing in the code. That concludes my report.
Well,
are there any questions?
One more thing that might be helpful is to state the amount, current amount of business license fees and how that will be impacted.
The current business license fee is $75. Unless you're a bank, it's $150.
Thank you. This is a first reading, so we'll be back on our agenda in 2 weeks.
Yeah, the public hearing is set for May 13th at 7 p.m.
May 13th, yes, our next meeting. Any questions for Laura?
I do have a question. With Section C, where it transfers the fee, with Section C, where it transfers the fee to
the water bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some properties that have a business, they may have just one meter that serves an entire building, correct? So if they have rentals that are above and you transfer a fee to the water bill and then cut it off, wouldn't that make those units uninhabitable?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I cite in here that it only works in certain circumstances. So we would only use it in the situations where it was applicable. Reserve, yeah.
Okay. It just seemed
Does that
a
answer
little...
your question?
Thank you.
Sure.
All righty. Thank you very much.
But in that case, where the business owner is also the property owner, and there may be units above with one meter, that could be transferred to the water bill.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as the town attorney pointed out, the town reserves the right to.
Okay. Next is the first reading of Ordinance 2019-03, setting the real property tax rate for fiscal year 2020. This is the first reading. The actual budget is passed in mid-June. We are required by the state to at least initially inform them of what rate is being considered as we go through the budget process, and this is part of that. And I thought that this might be a good opportunity to try to explain why the property tax rate is being increased at one time and the water utilities fees are being increased. There is no one cause, but there are multiple reasons that the mayor and council are considering increases in the town's property tax rates and water utility rates. These can be summarized under three different topics: sewer system upgrade, debt retirement, capital projects, and economic development. First, let's start with sewer system upgrade, debt retirement. The town of Berlin has an immediate need to create a customer sewer utility fee that provides a consistent, reliable way to retire the debt on our wastewater treatment plant capacity investments and spray irrigation operational costs. To retire the debt of our wastewater treatment plant capacity investments and spray irrigation operational costs, and to provide reliable funding for ongoing capital projects that are necessary for both growing service demands and ever-increasing environmental requirements. An annual fee to all 1,950 sewer customers would ensure that there is a consistent and reliable source of revenue for the retirement of sewer utility debt and to fund ongoing capital projects. For many years, the town has relied exclusively on new development to provide the funding to pay off wastewater utility debt. As of June 30th, 2018, our outstanding debt on the sewer utility was $15 million. But as residential and commercial development, as is its very nature, always runs in cycles, a more dependable source of revenue for wastewater that includes debt retirement and capital costs is absolutely necessary. Town's approach to significantly upgrade the capacity and quality of wastewater treatment over the past decade has relied on new development to offset the debt service and ongoing capital projects. While much underserved demand has been met, there is a growing resistance in Berlin to continue residential and commercial development at the pace the town has experienced since our economic recovery from the Great Recession of 2007-2008. Even with Berlin's revitalized growth, there is not enough revenue to retire the current sewer debt or to fund other ongoing capital projects that are needed in a town with much old infrastructure. This has required borrowing that, when combined with much higher than projected spray irrigation operating costs, have caused most of the depletion of Berlin's general fund reserves over the past 5 years. To correct this problem, the town must take two steps. First, to raise the current water utility fees over the next 5 years to end any further reduction of general fund reserves. The second step is that the town of Berlin must institute a permanent sewer customer utility fee charge to provide consistent funding for capital projects for the sewer utility. The town needs to work with a financial expert to help us complete the analysis and implement the fee. According to our engineering consultants, this is a common practice in other communities with a sewer utility. This fee would be calculated annually and fluctuate based on the capital needs and the amount of equivalent dwelling units, commonly called EDUs, that are collected each year. The second area that has been of a major impact is the second largest capital project the town has incurred in the past several years was the purchase of the property and the building of a new police station. The $3.2 million project was long overdue and has been needed since before the start of the century. Again, town general fund reserve funds were used to purchase the property, then construct and equipped our new police facility on US 113. Town slots revenues are being used to pay off this cost, which is expected to be completed within 8 to 10 years. We've also received a request to increase the amount the town budgets for capital expenses for the Berlin Fire Company. An additional $300,000 is being requested for fire, rescue, and emergency services. This will bring the total from the current level of annual funding from the town of $605,000 to $909,000, representing a 33% increase. Next, the work that we do in economic development. The pushback from the Berlin business community is disappointing, given the town's longstanding annual commitment of $330,000 for an economic and community development. Berlin has successfully supported economic development within our town. Since upgrading our economic and community development department from one part-time person to two full-time employees, the number of downtown Berlin businesses has doubled to over 70 in the past 10 years. The town's support for businesses in Berlin includes the purchase and operation of a Berlin Welcome Center on Main Street, sponsorship or support for 45 special events in downtown Berlin, plus the organization and promotion of the Berlin Farmers Market on Sundays and May through September, extensive multimedia messaging and advertising, including continuous and highly effective online promotion and marketing of Berlin. I would hope that businesses in Berlin consider the benefits of our town's outreach and support that is significantly greater than most small towns throughout our region. It is not feasible that the Berlin Chamber of Commerce could take on the financial responsibility of our town's ongoing and successful economic development investments. And last, sustainability. One thing that all three of these investments have in common is to ensure that the sustainability of Berlin and amid rapidly changing circumstances. These expenditures for sewer system upgrades, public safety of police, fire, and EMS, and economic development coincide with rising public expectations to accelerate the upgrades of our streets and sidewalks and to speed up mitigating flooding issues, which each represent multi-million-dollar expenses. If there was a way to enact incremental tax and water utility fee increases over 3 to 5 years, that would not make our town's financial system in jeopardy, but by further reducing the general fund reserve balance, then we would all be gladly to do that. In other words, if that didn't make the situation worse, it would be a very attractive solution, but the financial situation would get worse. To implement property taxes over 3 years, let's use the example of 15% the first year, 10% the second year, and 5% the third year, or a total of 30% over 3 years, the borrowing from the general fund reserves would be at an unsustainable level. The first year, as of July 1st, 2019, the general fund will be reduced by $1.5 million. As of the next year, on July 1st, 2020, the general fund would then be reduced by over $300,000. And then hopefully, if everything works out just right, then maybe we would break even by the third year after two more years of significant borrowing from the general fund. So this represents a total of $1.8 million borrowed from reserves and leaving only a balance of $1.8 million at the start of fiscal 2022. Our commonly targeted goal is to have reserves of about $4.5 million, which equals approximately 1 year of operational expenses for the town. The irony is that spending from general fund reserves has not been for frivolous purposes. All the expenses represented by these investments are essential for both our current quality of life and ensure that we maintain a community that has, as its underlying value, the need to adapt to change to meet new opportunities and challenges. The alternative is to steadily slip behind to a point where it is no longer practical or possible to meet these demands and expectations. And if anyone would like to address the mayor and council about the either the property tax rate that's being considered or the water utility fees that are being considered, certainly welcome your comments. If you just raise your hand and come on down so we can see you and know who you are. Yes, yes, ma'am.
My name is Stephanie Fowler, and at a recent merchant meeting, I was tasked with writing a letter on behalf of several merchants in town. The letter I'm about to read has been co-signed by 50 businesses here in Berlin. To the mayor, members of the town council, and town administration, you have asked to hear our voices in this chamber, and now we have come together in this moment to ask you to listen. We are your constituents and members of the business community. We are your economic engine. We are the shop owners and merchants occupying these historic buildings and lining these quaint streets. We have distilled our many voices into a single call for action, and we need you to hear us. We are united in our steadfast opposition to this proposed tax increase, which will absolutely place an unnecessary and extraordinary burden upon the shoulders of the citizenry and small businesses of our town. While we realize that tax increases are sometimes necessary, we never imagined we would face a 30% increase in a single stroke of this administration's pen. This unprecedented hike rides on the heels of the 7.3% increase in assessment already approved by Worcester County. As merchants, we are accustomed to taking a red pen to our budgets and finding ways to trim the fat when times are tight. We are used to making hard cuts in order to keep our lights on and our doors open. We take into account every factor. Ask any small business owner if they have ever foregone a paycheck just to make ends meet. We do what needs to be done. When the town's proposed budget was released, many among us sat down with printouts and red pens and immediately found tens of thousands of dollars to cut. Why is there such a rush to repay the money borrowed from the reserves? Are there other options available? Or is there something greater? Something we don't know about looming on the horizon that is going to require a cache of funds. The borrowing has occurred for several years, and it appears as though this administration expects the citizens and merchants to fix it before the tourists go home. We are disheartened and aggrieved by what appears to be a lack of consideration for what this tax rate increase will do to your residents and your businesses. You have to see the financial hardship you are imposing on each and every member of this community. It will create a toxic situation for many. If you take away the current shops, restaurants, galleries, and offices, what does our downtown look like? Do you want to see the answer to that? Haven't we already seen the answer to that? We are the cornerstones, the small businesses, the mom-and-pop stores, the young entrepreneurs looking to make a difference. All of us, your residents and your merchants, we are Berlin. When a customer walks into one of our businesses, they have a reasonable right to expect us to know how to do our jobs. We have the same expectation of our local government. We trust you to watch the town's checkbook as we watch our own. This administration seems willing to saddle us with an excessive tax increase without first doing the hard work of scrutinizing each and every line item and without first balancing the budget. It is unprincipled and unfair to task your citizens and merchants with purchasing the rope to rescue you from this hole when you will not put down the shovel. We have to do better. We have to rise to the occasion. As merchants in this town, we love being a part of Berlin. We have built friendships. We have built communities. We give back, often in ways that are unseen and unrecognized. But we do not exist here for kudos. We are here because we see the incredible potential of this town. You have asked for our input and claimed that our absence from town hall is a silent approval. Let us fix that now. We are asking that you do not make it harder to live and work in Berlin. The residents deserve better. The business owners deserve better. Please do better. And this letter has been co-signed by Saltwater Media, Baked Dessert Cafe, the Greyhound Indie Bookstore, the Treasure Chest, Heart of Gold Kids, Burn Wood-Fired Pizza, the Wasted Inn, the Church Mouse, Oh My Hair, Bruder Hill, Bruder Home, Atlantic Retreat, House, Wainwright's Tire Center, Chesapeake Pediatrics, Runaway Tide, Shepherd Realty, Burley Oak Brewing Company, Burley Cafe, Viking Tree Trading Company, Bleached Butterfly, Stewart Antiques, J&M Meat Market, Main Street Suites, The Dusty Lamb, Coconut Bay Trading Company, Edward Jones, Island Creamery, Gilbert's Provisions, Life Simple Pleasures, Riley & Company, Gypsy Tide, The Adkins Company, Sprout Creative, Uncle John's Soaps, Wooden Octopus, Psychological and Educational Evaluation, Berlin Printery, Lauren Bunting Independent Broker, Finn's Ale House and Raw Bar, Onwood Grounds, Zena Wellness, Sunshine Laundry, The Pit Stop, Design Resources, The Moore Companies, Coastal Association of Realtors, Main Street Deli, The Blacksmith, Rains Reef, and State Farm. Thank you.
Stephanie, leave a copy of the letter. We'll make a copy with Kelsey, and then we'll distribute it to all. Thank you.
No, I just wanted a copy.
Yes, go ahead.
My name is Donald Fletcher, and I live at 257 Powell Circle, Berlin, Maryland. I know for all you people here. And I'm here to speak in behalf of myself, which hopefully will help other people, too, that wanted to say some of the same things. I did an analysis today about the capital outlay, just the capital outlay part of the budget. And I came to the conclusion that based on what I saw in the proposed budget, there's going to be a $504,000 savings because you're not spending all the money in 2019. And having said that, when you add to that the idea that you're not going to be budgeting any capital expenditures for the 2020 budget, we should end up finding $1.2 million to cover the $1.8 million that were short. Where am I going wrong? That was one of my questions. So I have an analysis. You can have a copy of this later if you want to see it. And
that would be helpful. It's hard to respond to your numbers without kind of...
Okay, I got plenty of copies. I'll supply you with one, okay? Now, the other questions I have in regards to the budget is, first of all, is there a reserve for depreciation? When you depreciate an asset, do you put money aside in the reserve to cover obsolete vehicles that you may have to replace?
Natalie? We don't budget for depreciation. That's not a cash flow item.
You need to speak into the microphone. Yeah.
When you depreciate an expense, you've got to put money aside at a general fund reserve or from the reserves of the various enterprise funds to accommodate replenishing those assets. That's the way it really works in the real world.
We're speaking of a corporate world versus a government world.
Yeah.
So what Natalie's saying, I'm not sure if everybody can hear you, is we're required to follow generally accepted accounting principles, which is the way the government budgets.
Well, the government is more
and
adapting
so
the generally accepted accounting principles.
Understood. So it's a different accounting mechanism that we operate under.
The government is more and more every year adapting almost the same basis, generally accepted accounting principles, as generally accepted accounting principles for the government. And so it's only smart that if you create depreciation, and you increase your accumulated depreciation, but you got to go one step further. Whatever you create depreciation for that particular year, you should put money aside from each one of those enterprise funds so that you can have money on an ongoing basis to replenish those assets. Now, if that were being done, then we wouldn't be showing a shortfall getting more money out of the general fund. This is my thought.
Understood.
Okay?
And I think there's only one place, right here, Rod. I think there's only one place where we actually do that, and that is in the stormwater fund. We have a vacuum truck, and that's the only place you will see the accumulated depreciation, but I think you're right.
Okay, but every one of those enterprise funds should be doing that, and then you won't go too far into the dwelling in.
I'm sorry,
the
okay. This is not
maybe not accumulated depreciation.
We put in the reserve for okay. vacuum truck for future purpose. We're speaking of a depreciation as a cash flow item, which is not applicable. Depreciation is not a cash flow item.
I understand that, but what I'm trying to do is to find money set aside to cover replenishment of appreciated assets.
We have capital assessments and capital costs planned for each utility funds, and that's what we follow to purchase the capital items, not depreciation.
Okay, well, I don't see any analysis in your paperwork like that.
It would not be included in the budget, sir. That's a very different concept.
I'm not asking to be included in the budget. I'm asking to set up a reserve out of each one of those enterprise funds and the general fund if there are fixed assets that are being amortized over the life. And then you put money in a reserve to cover those. When it comes time to replenishment, you're replenishing them on the basis that you actually were depleting them.
And we probably should have done that about 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Today, while we're facing where we are.
Okay, that was one of my questions. Okay. The other question is anybody budgeting any money for OPEB?
No. There's no need for us to do that.
Why is that?
Because we don't have that liability.
You pay out
post-employee benefits? OPEB refers to
other post-employee benefits.
Right, which would include retiree medical.
Right.
Which is not a benefit available to anybody that works here.
It could be insurances. It could be you co-sponsoring it.
We don't have any OPEB obligations.
Okay. We don't have any of that. Great. So when I heard that the directive was to all the departments to decrease their budget for the 2020 year, all I saw out of that whole budget was capital outlay was reduced. There was hardly any other expenses. Most of the expenses within the budget were normal. And, you know, even a 3% rate going forward, CPIU, I mean, if you took it all balanced out to 3% to 4%, that's normal. I didn't dwell into those line items because they look pretty fair. But you didn't reduce any of those line items going forward. All you did was reduce the capital outlay. Every item, every department, all they did was reduce their capital outlay for equipment. So I don't know where the directive comes where you want people to reduce their department expense dollars for 2020. I didn't see that in the budget.
Yep, it was reflected primarily in the changes in the capital budget, but we also got rid of some recurring expenses. We're no longer paying
for
the...
Yeah, but they were minor compared to the capital budget.
If you could let me finish, that would be great. We're no longer paying for the billboard. We're no longer paying for seasonal employees. So there are some recurring expenses that did come out of the budget. But your point is well taken. It was largely capital. That's true.
Right. Now we're self-insured somewhat in the healthcare business, are we?
That's true.
How does that compare to the outsourcing? For the same benefits.
I don't understand your question.
We pay the majority of the health care for the employees.
No, sir. We pay 30% self-insured.
Jeff, if you could get 30%
self-insured.
Thank you.
Okay.
We are currently 30% self-insured.
How would that compare if you did the analysis to try to outsource that? Would we save that? Would we save any money by comparing?
No, sir. That analysis has been done for the last 4 years. It doesn't reap a benefit.
Just a point I wanted to try to make. I only have a couple more. Now, when it comes to the electrical utility enterprise, what percentage of power do we buy outright as opposed to how much we produce ourselves?
Tim, do you know that percentage off the top of your head?
Well, as far as producing power, we only produce power during peak demand times, which is during the winter and summer months when it's the highest demand. And right now at the power plant, we produce about 6.7 megawatts of power. Okay, and what that does, that reduces your transmission congestion charges during the highest peaks.
Speak up a little bit.
Those generators are not designed to run 24/7. It's not cost effective, plus the age of them.
Tim, can you just speak up a little bit?
So,
yes.
So the percentage of production you produce is how much compared to the total percentage you bill out?
6.5.
To the total percentage?
Yeah, what about, I would suggest maybe somewhere around 5% that you produce your own power, maybe
around
to the tune of 5%.
But we produce power to lower our purchased power costs, and it reduces our purchased power costs by hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Okay.
So if we decided not to do that, we'd just be increasing the cost to everyone for no reason. I mean, just stating, I mean, it's every one of these businesses have their own quirks. There's no just one way to approach each one of them. They're all unique and have all these parameters and guidelines and sometimes just pain in the butt regulations that we must follow that in private sector you wouldn't have to worry about.
But so then the other 95% has to be bought outright. And if that's the case, do we have contracts that are feasible to us, not short-term, but long-term, to sway away the future costs, higher costs?
Yes, and the answer is yes.
And is that
we have the contract that's in place, plus we have the contract that will follow it for 3 years, plus we're always staying ahead of the market, where for years the town used to buy about the last 2 or 3 months before a power contract ran out and paid the price of the moment, the price in the market at the time. Actually, and this is another irony. I know nobody will ever believe it, but because of doing it the way we're doing it, actually our electric utility costs are the lowest in this whole region by far.
I'm not questioning that.
And the thing is, it's something where we did it the way that, again, a lot of good people thought that we should. Good people. We have good business people, good heads. Good integrity, they're doing to do all the right thing. But the business is not, the electric utility is a very complex business, and we are basically trying to, and have been successful in undercutting the market price for the last several years. So, and everything we do has to be approved by the Public Service Commission.
I see a lot of solar panels going up here, there, and everywhere. Certainly as an alternative.
And it's something else, too, where based on a lot of requirements that it's imposed by the state, it makes it harder for us to do solar. It doesn't mean it's impossible, but it's not like when you're at your home, you make the investment, you get a return on investment directly and immediately. There's all kinds of limitations of what we can do and at what speed. But we definitely are looking into it, but unfortunately, like everything else, it requires a capital investment up front.
Exactly.
And currently, we do purchase a portion of our power from renewable energy, and that's about, I think, 18.3% in 2018. So that is coming from a renewable source.
Good.
Thank you.
The other question I have is, what's our tax base in people or numbers? What is our total household tax base in numbers? 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 bucks.
Are you asking a number of households, or are you asking the accessible base?
I'm asking you how many people live in this town, or how many households of people live in this town.
Usually it's about 4,500. Do you know how many utility accounts
are? I don't want the population. I just want the tax base, the people that live in residentials.
So you want the households?
Yeah, the households.
Because usually when you do it, some sort of basis of taxes, it's on an assessable base. Do you know how many, Natalie?
We have approximately 5,000 water accounts.
5,000?
Total accounts.
Yeah, but that includes your businesses, though, too, doesn't it?
Of course.
Yes. Okay, so what percentage of the total 5,000 is people that aren't in business?
83%
is. I have a reason for that. How many?
83 residential, 17
commercial. And Natalie, use the mic. I'm sorry. It makes a big difference. Okay. 83% so residential.
Approximately 83-17 residential to commercial.
So 83% of the burden is on people that aren't in business. That's what you're saying when it comes to the tax.
It's a percentage, but then there's the usage, because some of those commercial accounts are much bigger than a few hundred of the residential accounts.
In terms of the property tax rate. Okay. I think I have one other question. I think I asked you this last time I was here. The net accessible real property tax base, did that change from 2019 to 2020?
I believe it did. Natalie, do you have
those? So I think I ended up having
numbers with you.
For the references, I have those numbers here. But if you go online and on State Department Assessment and Taxation, they have the tables for Berlin, for State of Maryland in general. And they have all the comparisons. So you compare 19 to 20 or 18 to 19?
18 to 19. I was looking for what you're using your new rates against, your tax rate against, the new assessed
You're talking
new
about the whole base as a dollar amount?
No, I'm looking for the total value of the assessed property that you're going to base your rates against.
Okay. We have that information.
I think you told me 426,000.
It's 428 million.
That's
total.
The previous year, but I think this year.
That's the year we calculate in the fiscal 20 budget. I can email you this page.
434.
And we can post that too, because here's something that everybody forgets about, and it's totally natural and normal. Our accessible base is finally getting back to where it was 10 years ago. I mean, it went down and big down, and we cut almost $1 million out of the budget. Nobody remember, we did what we had to do, and then people, everybody has needs. So we've reinvested into the town, and, it's a cycle like anything else. And now we finally have an accessible base of what we had 10 years ago, but our expenses are considerably higher. And I think that's not unique.
Well, I noticed that in the police department budget, the salaries are almost $1 million. Well, that really went up. I mean, it's been averaging somewhere around $1 million. I mean, if you look at the total salaries for the police department, somewhere around, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was somewhere around 970,000 or whatever it was for the 2018 budget. And it's going to increase. The rate of increases are normal. Like the police department's rate increase was 1.42, but it's getting a little higher. So how many people are involved in that number?
How many people are involved in that number? We have 14
the salaries. How many people are earning salaries to get up to 970?
You have 14.
Jeff to answer that for you.
You have 14 sworn officers. You have four full-time dispatchers, two part-time dispatchers, and then we have one full-time records clerk.
Okay. So all the questions I have.
John, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
I didn't understand the point you were making.
Excuse me. Can you hear me now?
Don, I didn't understand the point you were making when you asked about the number of families, and the reply was 87% were residential and the others were commercial. I didn't understand that point you were trying to make.
Well, the point is if the tax base, if the tax assessed value based on what you're using it today for your 2020 budget, if 83% of that value is household, then the majority of the burden of the tax increase is placed on the residents, not the businesses. The businesses are going to take even more share, but the residents are being asked to take a real big hit here. And that's why
Thank you, Don.
Huh?
Thank you. Thank you for explaining.
Huh?
He said, thank you for explaining.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
And so,
again, What I'm trying to do is recognize people who kind of put their hands up first, and we'll go.
That's
do you
all
still
my
want
questions.
To address the
Thank
council?
You.
Sir, in the green back there?
Larry.
Is that Larry? Yep. Yes.
Okay. Larry Smith, Windkeep Circle, Berlin, Maryland. Now, you're saying you want to raise the tax rate 29%, right?
Correct.
Well, now, since the constant yield is dropped, it actually works out to 31-point-something%. I'd have to do the math, but it's over 31% that you want to raise the taxes because you don't want to drop the constant yield. You know, I'm a disabled vet, and I have a real problem with people on the council that say they won't vote for a two-tier tax thing because they own property and have businesses in this country. And if you were at the last council meeting, you know who they were. I'm not going
to
mention
me.
Them. That's you. That's right.
Find me one business that would like to pay more.
Find one resident that would like to pay more. So you want to break it on the taxpayers. I've known you for years. I knew your mother.
I think so.
Just because you own property here, you don't want to have a tier thing. So anybody that's in here that has property in this town should be voting for the town, not for their personal gain. So we're talking a 31-point-something% raise in my taxes. So it's going to be over. I've been here for the last several meetings and done all this stuff and talked and said the same thing. You guys are going to do whatever you're going to do, and it doesn't make any difference what the town or the population of this city says. You're going to do it anyway. You're going to raise these taxes. You're going to raise all these fees, and nobody's going to be able to afford them. I'm sorry. I mean, we're talking $90,000 for special events. That's what you're paying, right?
Correct.
Now, I have no problem with helping the business owners here, but why should the residents pay $90,000? You know, I support all the businesses in here. I go into the restaurants. I go into the shops. I buy things. But why is the town of Berlin subsidizing all this stuff? Now, I do enjoy the fireworks. Everything else. So it's not the 29% tax that you want to raise. It's 31. You got this power plant down here that we went to all this stuff a few years ago to sell the thing. It didn't get sold, did it? And it's just costing, I don't care what you say this power plant puts out. They put those, and I said this when we had all these meetings. You put those Mitsubishi engines in there. Now, I am a certified diesel mechanic. You put those Mitsubishi things in there, and they were junk from the beginning. How many of those engines are still running?
Tim? How many of the engines are the Mitsubishi engines plus what the original engine?
Two out of the three. There was a total of three of them, and one of them is that actually basically faulted probably 12, 13 years ago. That engine was never rebuilt. It stayed the way it was, and the other two engines are still running to this day.
So what happened to the fourth engine? There used to be there.
There's a total of five engines in the plant. There's a total of five. Out of the five, four of them are still running.
So why is the last Mitsubishi not running?
The one that blew up years ago?
Yeah.
I couldn't answer that question for you. I was not here back then.
Because you bought these Mitsubishis, and then you had to do top overhauls. You had to do all these overhauls on them. And they were, so the taxpayers paid for how many million dollars for those Mitsubishis? Do you have any idea?
I wasn't here back then when that was built.
So, why are we paying all this money? I have a real problem with people on this council that have a interest in the community, and I really believe they're voting for what their interests are. You know, I brought this up the last meeting. We've got this ongoing discussion now about Purnell Crossing. We know who did that one. We know who we bought the chicken plant from. I have this real problem that I'm paying my taxes, and everybody else in this room's taxes are paying for the screw-ups that everybody that are here did. You want to raise my taxes 31 with the constant yield, and I'm in the third of the county that the tax they reassessed. So now it's even going to go above $700 a year. And that's way above what I'm going to pay the county. I think that there's people on this committee and this council and everything else that vote for their interest and not the town of Berlin. My taxes will go up over seven. I figured it out since the last meeting, over $700 a year for the town of Berlin. I already pay the town of Berlin, I said this last meeting, and I double-checked my tax thing, I already pay the town of Berlin over what I pay the county and the state. So now you want to go up. It's actually going to be 31 point something percent. I would have to figure it out because you have adopted not to adjust the constant yield. I have this real problem with people on the council that do this stuff, and I personally, this is my personal thing. I can't talk for anybody in the audience, and I can't talk for anybody in Berlin. You are voting on things that really take care of you guys. It don't take care of the town of Berlin. It takes care of the people that are on this council that owns businesses anywhere around here. And I think you have to remember that there's going to be an election. I think you have to really think about a 31-point-something% increase, and now you want to raise all their utilities on top of that?
We're not raising. Excuse me, if I could just interject for a second, sir. We are not raising the electric rates.
Oh, you're not raising the
electric
rates.
You're not raising the electric rates.
And now, are you raising? Now I heard that you're not doubling the storm tax.
That's also true. We're not increasing the stormwater fees either.
Okay. So how much is my sewer and water rates going up?
Figure it out, Larry.
That hasn't been determined yet.
Yeah. It hasn't been determined. But you're going to raise them. You are taxing the people in this town right out of here. I'm a disabled veteran. I cannot afford the things that you are proposing. And I know I have known a lot of you people for a long time. But you have to remember that there is an election coming up. And there are people that are going to run for your offices that will take care of the town of Berlin and not themselves. Thank you.
Right straight back. I'm sorry. I'll come back and right here. Yes. No, well, the lady there and then you. We'll make sure everyone has the opportunity to speak. Who wishes to?
Good evening. I'm Cameron Drew, and I'm a realtor on the board of directors for the Coastal Association of Realtors, whose headquarters office is located at 314 Franklin Avenue here in Berlin. We've asked our members to attend tonight's meeting so the real estate industry can collectively express its concern with the proposed property tax increase. Thank you guys for coming. There are about 1,000...
Before you go further, ma'am, can I ask for a show of hands for the folks that are here with the realtors? And of those hands, how many live within the corporate limits of the town of Berlin? Thank you.
We all do business here. Thank you, Sharon.
We all do business here.
Thank you.
There are about 1,000 local realtors in our association. All of them are licensed in the state of Maryland and can and have sold real estate in Berlin. In fact, our members sold over $102.5 million in real estate this last year in the town of Berlin. Of that amount, $90.9 million was residential property. The real estate industry is a huge factor in your town's overall economic health, and you are scaring away prospective home buyers and current homeowners. A lot of people tend to assume that all Berlin residents are wealthy and can afford an extra $400 to $600 per year in taxes. But let's take a closer look at who actually lives here. According to the United Way's Asset Limited Income Constricted Employed, or ALICE, report, 47% of Berlin's residents live at or below either the poverty threshold or the ALICE threshold, which varies depending on the size of a family. But ALICE households are those that make above the federal poverty level, but not enough to afford a bare-bones household budget. They live paycheck to paycheck. They have little to no savings, and I'd be willing to bet they have no idea where they will get the additional money to cover the tax and fees increases under consideration. What happens to their homes if they can no longer afford to live here? They flood the market with the new listings that few people want because the cost to live in Berlin is so high. If they can't sell, we run into a foreclosure situation, and blight takes over your neighborhoods. This is, of course, a worst-case scenario, but it is still a possibility. For us, Berlin becomes an incredibly hard sell to buyers. Perhaps we'll attract buyers who can afford these prices, but I will guarantee they will look seriously at other areas on the shore before they reach a decision on how to invest their hard-earned money. Just because they can afford it doesn't mean they will want to pay it, especially when the level of trust and faith in this government is dwindling. Please listen to us. We are the realtors who are on the front lines every single day selling your town to prospective buyers. You've got to give us good material to work with. And a 29% property tax increase paired with a utility fee increase is a very hard sell. We've brought a petition signed by about 200 real estate professionals, residents, and business owners. We hope you will take our concerns into consideration as you move forward with your budget deliberations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, guys. Hello. My name's Gina Vallong. I've lived in this town my whole life, but I actually live in Decatur Farms. I'm the board president of the townhomes. And the reason I'm speaking again is because I keep hearing about development and annexation and how great it is for our town when it hasn't been. It's not helped with anything with the budget. The other thing is that we're at the mercy of the developer. In 2010, the town took over Decatur Farms single-family homes. So they no longer have road maintenance or lights. The townhomes have been abandoned. We have our own road maintenance. We had to sign a waiver just to get trash pickup and snow removal. We had 34 more units in there, and the roads are falling apart. We had to blackmail the developer to fix the roads that they destroyed, rebuilding. We also had to fight to get lights back there that were promised to us long before I bought in there. We now got those lights, but because the town isn't helping us with maintenance, stormwater, or anything else, we now have the privilege of paying $20.98 a month for each pole. So now we get to pay $275 a month as a townhome community to have the privilege of a safe neighborhood. So I'm here to tell you that your annexation ideas are not good. I am a citizen that you're getting ready to raise my taxes. You're talking about the stormwater fees or adding another fee, if I didn't misunderstand that. And I get the benefit of none of that. I get the burden of passing another additional $600 a year to my taxes. I don't get the full service of the town. And I don't see how that is helpful to anyone. 5 units went up for sale the day you all announced your tax raise. Congratulations for destroying my neighborhood that, as a board president, I've been fighting to repair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, John Apple, 122 Austin Circle. Mayor, Council, Ms. Allen. First and foremost, there were some questions about the recordings. I've had to listen to a lot of recent meetings. There was no break in the audio. Everything sounded fine, except the volume was way down. I had to hold my cell phone or my laptop directly up to my ear to hear that. A cheap and inexpensive way to fix that would be whoever's keeping the minutes to create a more detailed explanation for what each speaker says. It'd be a lot easier to read through that rather than going through the full recording. So I'm here today just to go on record. I've sent some ideas and whatnot on to Ms. Allen, who was very responsive to those ideas about not raising our tax rate so high. These ideas spread the expenses throughout, not just the residents and the commercial owners, but also to our visitors, to those who spend time in the town. One idea, of course, the town was going through a mobility and parking plan. I threw some preliminary numbers together so you would have that. It's very modest, but you would have that in front of you in case that study does not come back before you set this rate increase. Something to look at. Other things are pertaining mainly to the Davis-Bowen and Friedel report you guys just had done. I commend you on that. That was a good money well spent on that report. Within that report, I feel that some ideas moving forward could be implemented, as well as possibly some ideas and ways to solve the anxiety by your residents on this before you set your rate increases. So within this study, quote, it is necessary that town revenues keep pace with inflation. If rates are not periodically reviewed, expenses can outweigh revenues, which have been happening for multiple years now. To keep pace with inflation, including rising wages, energy costs, fuel, equipment, and contracted services, town could raise rates at a rate of 1.5 to 3% per year. 2% is recommended. Rates should be reviewed at town's discretion annually, twice a year, possibly every other month. Notice here they say that raising town rates, that is not exactly only your tax rate or your utility service rates. Looking back to your schedule of fees online, as long as everything online is up to date, your building permits are dated 2011. These are 1% building permit fees. I'd recommend looking at your opportunities moving forward as ones that have been missed. Regionally, looking at other municipalities, you have building permit fees are anywhere from 1.5 to 3% of total construction costs. Within this DBF study, they had special connection fees in 2017 totaling 134, which is a huge increase from what you normally see. And I'm guessing most of these were new construction or very large renovations. If you had raised your building permit fees, you would have been able to intake a lot more revenue from these different projects. Moving forward and looking at what is ahead of us with different development, with your annexations, with the amount of construction that is happening in town, the old homes that are being renovated at this time, there's much more out there to be done. I definitely recommend raising those rates. Other ones would be you had a few people that came up and voiced their concern about short-term rentals, Airbnbs. So if you go online, look at Airbnb, VRBO.com, book it, just to name a few. I did, and very quickly found 30 properties within the town of Berlin that were charging on an average a $1.75 a night. So coming from and growing up in a tourist community, as many of the other residents have, you see what happens in Ocean City. These aren't business people coming and taking a layover. These are people coming on vacation to have a good time, and this is their time to have that good time. So what does that mean? Your trash is overflowing when they leave. They pack the house with as many people as they can. It puts a very large strain on the services put in place by the municipality. This rental fee per unit for the year is $10. I would recommend raising that substantially, and then also possibly taxing the rental income. There's other ideas that I've sent Ms. Allen. I'd love for you guys to take a look at it. These are strictly ideas, but I implore you to look at these before you set your rate increase. Per the DBF study as well, they recommend that the town review these inflation rates along with different assessments throughout the year. Another thing that I would recommend doing, if it's never been brought up before, would be to set in place a budget overview or audit committee. You have a lot of realtors, professionals in the back audience, of which if they are residents, they could sit on this committee and deliberate, you know, 3 to 6 times a month. And the questions that you guys come up with sitting up in here in front of everybody to solve these problems, they take note of it during the meeting, they deliberate, and they bring you answers the next meeting, so you're not sitting here scratching your heads about how did we get here 12 years down the road, and we're in the whole $1.8 million. Again, these are just general ideas. I know that you're in a very hard spot here. The town as a whole is in a hard spot, because then if you assess our threats, if something is not done, then you get a straw that breaks the camel's back, some large lawsuit, some unforeseen capital project that just craps the bed, and you could be looking at bankruptcy and possibly other things. If you raise this tax increase now to 29% in one jump of a year, I think the lady that was here before me with the Realty Committee pretty much in a roundabout way said it, over time, 5 to 10 years, your property values could go down. There's a town that I saw, Rockport, Connecticut, raise their taxes 29% in 1 year. They were trying to forego a $20 million deficit, which is much larger than what we've got. But the biggest problem they suffered from doing so was that property values fell. What I would recommend, and I'd love to have some more conversation with you about this, is to look at these other ways to earn revenue, spread the expenses out, not only to the residents and the business owners, but to those visitors that are coming in that pay to be on our streets and use our services. But to raise the rate in such a way so it lands below the county rate. From a marketing standpoint, as a realtor, I think it would be better for them to state that, yes, Berlin raised taxes, but we are still the second lowest town in the county, and we are still below the county average or the county rate. I think that's a very good marketing strategy if you're a realtor. And as you move forward, you don't have that huge, you know, iron ceiling that you just put 29% on, where you can't really move forward as inflation just keeps creeping along. You leave it open to supplement moving forward, 3%, 5% every 2 or 3 years. As inflation occurs, the county is going to raise their rates. Other towns are going to raise their rates. And hopefully by then, the mayor and council can keep up with that and move forward without sitting doing nothing for a very long time until this happens. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, can I take one? Sure, sure. Mr. Apple, thank you, because, I mean, too often we understand we're in a problem. We have a dilemma, but it's nice to hear some solutions, so thank you.
Can I ask a question of the lady that presented before Mr. Apple, but after you?
Okay. I was just going to say, this is after me working a full day, coming home and putting 3 kids down, and then just looking through the town's website at the different paperwork and everything on there. The work can be done if you put your mind to it. It's all there. You got all your numbers are sitting right there in front of you. There might be some other options to look at. So please look at those options that I sent along.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
I have a question for the lady that provided us with this petition.
Oh, the real estate. That's the realtor. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you meant Gina. Karen.
Who are the concerned citizens of Ocean Pines?
Is that someone that signed the petition?
Yes.
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, anyone can make an email.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
My name is Jeff Smith. I live at 101 Davis Court. To the Mayor and Council of Berlin, I think we can all agree that Berlin is a great place to live. It's why we are all here. Some of us were born here and never left. Some of us left and chose to return. And some of us, like myself, found this quaint and blissful little corner of the earth quite by accident. My wife and I moved here with our daughter in 2013, coincidentally, shortly before Berlin became the coolest, smallest town. We loved the people, the close-knit community, the amazing public school system, the fellowship of love and support that comes from the people we met who welcomed us into this community's loving embrace. We chose to make Berlin our home, and we are committed to making it a home not only for us and for our children, but for all of Berlin's children. All but one of you on the dais, she just left, has been duly elected to represent the people of this community, its hardworking parents, its retired population, its teachers, its waiters and waitresses, its business owners and their employees. When we elected you to represent us, we trusted that you would do your jobs, that you would be responsible stewards of our town and our future. And then we found out you weren't. You have demonstrated not only financial mismanagement, but fiscal negligence, and we have lost our faith in you. Now you propose a tax increase that is unprecedented in Berlin's history. With your proposed tax increase and the change in assessments from the county, every single property owner in this town will see nearly 40% increase in taxes this year. I want that number to sink in for a moment, 40%. This administration has been overspending for years, drawing from our collective savings account to pay for monthly expenses. You did this not just for 1 year, but for years and years, and as an administration, you made the decision to continue to draw from savings, hoping beyond hope that the expenses would somehow magically self-correct, that those numbers would start looking different if you just gave them enough time, until it appears time ran out. And now it is time to pay the piper, and you are asking us to pay. And to that I say no. I will not pay for your mistake. The job of a leader is a hard one, and leaders must sometimes make hard decisions, and it is time that you started making hard decisions. You asked for us to speak, to no longer let our silence be our approval. We are not silent any longer. And yet I wonder how many of you have already made your decision. We have heard that you will consider every possibility, and yet all we have seen from this mayor and council is the proposal of an unprecedented tax increase. And the same mentality that the burden of fixing the mess that you made falls on us. I say no.
Yes, ma'am.
Sexton from the Treasure Chest. I just have something quick to say that I think a lot of people aren't aware of. As a business owner, as well as a property owner in the town of Berlin, because I do not sleep and live in the town of Berlin, I have no vote in anyone on the town council. I think a lot of people aren't aware of the fact that a renter has more of a say in the vote of who goes on the council than a property owner. I appreciate all that the government does for the businesses in town, but I think it's also something that everyone doesn't realize, that when we have these events in town, business owners don't go home with dollar bills falling out of their pockets. I think that there's a misnomer that we all make tons of money with these events, and the events are as much for the residents as they are for the business owners. I can see the long range when someone comes to Berlin. They might not buy that day, but they'll be back. So that's why I enjoy the events, and I get, you know, I think the events are a good thing. But not all the events. It seems like that it's becoming that the events are for the merchants. They're not. 4th of July, that's for the residents. That's not for the merchants. Ball drop, that's for the residents. That's not for the merchants. One of the things I was the most upset about that's being dropped is the billboard. People need to know how to get to Berlin. Not everybody knows where Berlin is. If everybody knows where everything is, then not one property owner in Ocean City nor any of the other billboards that are up there would be necessary. Billboards are across the country because they work. I do feel like people have to know where they're going. They've heard about it. Unless somebody in Ocean City doesn't tell them where to come, I think the billboard, I'm on the billboard side. But I just also want it just to be known that if you own property in Berlin, but you don't live here, you can't vote. And not all the events are to benefit the merchants in this town. I think that you have to look at the fact that they are for the residents as well as the merchants. And at one point it was talked that the people who make out from the events will be the ones that will be paying for this. Well, then don't look at all the merchants for that. I don't know where you're going to look for it, but not all the merchants. And like I said, I see the long-range picture, and I think it's great to bring people in town. I think the town has become the coolest town because of our events, but those are events are for the residents as well as for the merchants.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak? Yes. Come right on. Come on right up. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Laura Arenella, and I live at 245 Powell Circle. I also own a property in Purnell Crossing. I am part of the administrative team at Buckingham Elementary School. I've lived in Berlin for about 12 years, which doesn't sound very long, but that's about a third of my life. And I intended to stay for the long haul, and I do love Berlin, but this is not going to be feasible for me and my family. We will be leaving. Both of those properties will be for sale if this goes on. And I'm not alone in that. So I wish I had something eloquent. I wish I had numbers, but all I have is my reality. And I just hope that you understand what you're doing. And you, I understand, are business men and women. And I am surprised that, as such, outside of Berlin, that's what you're going to do to Berlin. I don't know that you would conduct your businesses outside of Berlin this way. And I'm disappointed. I'm scared. I don't want to move, but I'm going to have to move if this goes on. So, thank you.
Come on down, and then yeah. You'll be closer after Marie talks.
Marie DeLong, 400 West Street. I just have a question. I was confused by what you said about the wastewater. Are you proposing a wastewater fee to fund the capital improvements? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, the ongoing capital improvements, yes.
So it would be besides the wastewater bill that we already get.
It would be included in that. In other words, it would be one of the line items. When you get your water bill, it has all the water utilities.
So the total, it's not a second fee. It's something you're doing the budget.
Well, it would be a second fee in terms of the way it's listed, so we know. The way it's listed on the bill. If you look at your bill now, it has your water fee, your sewer fee, your stormwater fee, mm-hmm. a couple other state Chesapeake Bay Fund, and this will be listed as a separate fee, so you know how much money is being allocated or basically taken out of that bill for capital projects. And how.
But it won't be an extra amount. It'll be coming out of the wastewater
fee. It's part. It will be again. That's where we have to call in, you know, somebody in. And I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know what that fee would be. I think it would be modest, but any fee is not acceptable. I know that. But you know, right now we're saying we have no way without borrowing further on general funds.
I'm just trying to be clear as the wastewater. It's just one fee on the bill, and that's going to go towards both things? Or are you putting two fees on there, one for capital improvements and one for our sewer?
I think the second is a better, clearer way of understanding.
So not only are we going to get an increase in our sewer bill, but we're going to get an additional fee for capital improvements.
That's what we're having to consider.
I really, really hope you're listening to all of these people, because this is just insane to expect people to put up with this amount of money. I don't care who you are. You can't do 31% increase in taxes up the sewer, up the water, and say, oh, well, we're not going to double your stormwater fee this year, and we're not doing anything to the electric fee this year, and expect people to take it. You wanted people here. They are here, and they are telling you this is not acceptable on any level. You have got to do this incrementally everywhere and figure out how to cut your budget to match it, not on our back.
Yes, sir.
Jim Hoppe from Henry's Mill. It's been quite a few years before I sat in front of many of you gentlemen, but I have a simple question. I'm not here to throw any darts. Many have been thrown tonight. But my question is, what does it take in this town to bring an item to referendum? Can we bring a budget to referendum? Can we bring recalls to referendum? And David, do we have procedures?
Yeah. David went. Yeah, David, why don't you explain
how
that
works?
The budget is an ordinance, and there are referendum procedures. Now, I don't know all that off the top of my head, Mr. Hoppe. I'd have to take some time to look into it. But our ordinance
should be made available.
Our code
to the
does
public.
Provide for that.
So what is the easiest way of getting that information?
I can have it. I can email it to Laura tomorrow. It can be put up on the town website.
Very good. That's all I have. One question.
Good thank seeing you, Mr. Hoppe.
Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to address the mayor and council?
Yes.
Samantha Peelstick. I live at 3 Decatur Street in Berlin. I was at the meeting last Monday, and you can't ask questions, so I'm bringing questions from that meeting. I hope that's okay.
Sure.
My first question is, when each department head was presenting their budget, there were certain items that they said that they had looked at. They were the top five, I think they said, and they had looked at trying to cut those. And I noticed that there are certain items that are broken out within the budget. For example, there is a retention fund, and if the retention cost was $95, it was broken out, and it showed us that it was BJ's, Sam's Club, and gift cards. It showed us how we got to that $95. Mm-hmm. And some of you asked questions about other things, and I'm assuming you guys do this every year, so you probably know what some of these, how they get to these line items. But I didn't understand the general overhead, and I'm specifically looking first at the water fund. There's a line item called the general overhead. Mm-hmm. And for the proposed budget, it's going to be $80,920. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what's in general overhead?
Natalie, can you answer that question for her?
Basically, the general fund administration, elected officials, finance, and all the items included with that, like state retirement and overtime and FICA, gets allocated by the percent. The general fund absorbs 40%, and the percentage of utility funds picks the percentage. Basically, the administration gets supported by the utility funds because it's all commingled together, Laura's job and elected officials' job related to utility funds. A simple way to explain that.
Okay, so then the same is in the sewer department where it is $209,000.
It's
just
calculated according to the total budget of
so
each
it's a percentage?
Fund. It's a percentage.
Okay. I was concerned because one of the other funds, the gentleman mentioned it was like for supplies and operations, he said fittings and rubber gloves, and I thought at $20,000 that was a lot of rubber gloves and fittings. So I was just, and I'm not trying to be rude, I'm literally unsure as to how we get to, that's about $300,000 of the two budgets, and they're unexplained items, so that was why I was questioning that.
If you would like the details of each item, you can email and we can respond it to you. I don't have details in front of me right now. So.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to ask is this evening, tonight, at the beginning of our meeting, you mentioned that this capital improvement annual fee, and I had looked at mine. I'm a basic water and sewer user. I'm about a 3,000-gallon-a-month girl. Yeah. That's what we use at our house. And so I figured out that between the proposed rate, and I'm assuming the one tier, I'm not assuming the three tier, it was going to bring my bill up about $11.44 a month, roughly $137 a year, just on my water and my utility bill. But now you're indicating that there'll be an additional fee on top of that, and then an additional sewer customer utility fee. Is that two new fees?
No, it's one fee.
That's one. Right. Okay, and that's all for capital improvement?
Yes.
And do you have any idea what you're going to forecast that fee to be?
No. I mean, obviously, that's where we have to figure out how much capital expense we think we're going to need on a year-to-year basis, and then what fee would then support that. Again, with the basic idea that we wouldn't be going to reserve funds to fund those capital projects.
Okay.
So, but quite frankly, that's where we want to bring in outside third party who can be totally, you know, independent and tell us what the options are.
Okay. I hope that it would be be considered that perhaps not this year. For example, if you're going to raise the fees in do the single tier and do it just in one year, that you put off that capital increase fee a year or three or seven, whatever you feel like you can wait, and I understand capital improvements need to happen. I get that. But just it that you would do this one year and perhaps something else the next. And then the other thing is I wanted to bring up two points that I've mentioned before. One was I was accidentally misquoted in the newspaper, so I want to make sure you guys are really clear. I am not for the two-tier for commercial and residential because commercial properties are already assessed at a higher value. So I just want to state that. And they made a correction. They were very sweet about it. But I just want to make sure that you guys understand I was not for that two-tier for commercial and residential. And also just wanted to bring up the lost my train of thought.
Excuse me.
Train got derailed. So I just wanted to bring up that I really feel like you guys are in a tough position because we are behind the eight ball and you have to figure out how to fix it. But I would hope that you could do the utility assessment or the utility fee changes and then sunset out that tax increase. So if you have to do the tax increase, do a sunset. Say we're going to do it until the reserve fund reaches the $4.5 million reserve, and at that point we would take it back to the 68 cents. So you would do, if you do feel like you need to do the increase, you would do it in such a way because you would set the ordinance that it would have a sunset so that it wouldn't always be 88 cents. It would be 88 cents till the problem's solved and the reserves are at $4.5 million, and then you could sunset that tax increase.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very helpful suggestions. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Good evening. My name is Allie Giska. I live at 110 Austin Circle. Perhaps you remember my name or face. The the last time I spoke here was last year. I was requesting permission to use Stephen Decatur Park for Tinker Garden program. It's a nature-based play class for parents and children. The request was denied, understandably. There were reasons given, and they were reasonable, but it ultimately came down to protecting the taxpayers, that allowing this program to happen on public parks would be going against taxpayers. And all of you said that, and you know, sorry, ma'am, it's a wonderful program. It sounds great, but we are here to protect the taxpayers. I was disappointed that evening, but no hard feelings. Tinker Garden is happening at Taylor House Museum, and everything's wonderful. And I was disappointed for an hour or two, but ultimately I was happy that we had a council that and mayor that was here to protect us, the taxpayers. And the decision wasn't in my favor that night, but I felt confident walking away that in the future, when something else would come down the line and the mayor and council would vote, they would protect us. And like my friend Laura, I own two properties. One is underwater, and this tax increase will make it very difficult for my family as well. But I am confident. I believed you when you said that you would protect us. You told me that last year when you denied my request. I believed you. I still want to believe you. So please give me reason to still believe that you are here to protect the taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Ali. Does anyone else wish to address the mayor and council? Can you tax this community? I mean,
you know how bad it is, and you know that there's streets that were, you paid all this money to have this person come in and go around. Well, I don't know if they ever went to the other side of 113 in Decatur Farms, Gold Creek, or anywhere else. But I want to know, I want a list of the streets they said. And I'm going to video them, and then I'm going to video mine and some of them, some of the other ones in Decatur Farms and Gold Creek on the other side of the highway. And I'm coming back to this council meeting, and I'm going to bring them to video.
And let me ask, tell you this. That report has been available since February of a year ago.
Well, I would like a copy of it.
Of course. You're welcome to.
I've called before, and I haven't got a copy of it yet.
Larry, your street is on the list to be repaved this year.
Well, is that, I don't know if it is or not.
Yes, it is.
The last council meeting, they said it was a mistake that my street wasn't on there. It was Purnell somewhere or another, or some other street.
And a correction on one other thing you said, Larry. It depends on who you are and where you live. That was 20 years ago.
Find a way.
Is it there? The street is on
okay,
the budget.
Would just tell whatever the situation is, whatever it is. And just
that's the budget. I think what he's looking for is a copy of the street study. What Natalie's saying is that Cape Circle's in the proposed budget for paving in the next fiscal year. I'm sorry, Mayor, I didn't have a question.
I just wanted
to, some of the other ones that are on that list, and this is fiscal 2020, right?
So Cape Circle is in fiscal 20's street paving budget, and the DBF street study, I believe, has been posted to the website, as the mayor indicated, for quite a while.
Over a year.
I can email it that link directly to you. I have your email address, and we can do that for you.
Well, so you should have that available tomorrow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Ready. Well, now we have gotten...
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
What would it take to get... I mean, we've heard from the public at Stephen Decatur. We've had our work sessions. We've gotten the proposal. What would it take for us to have another work session where we could sit down as a group and discuss the budget? Because, I mean, honestly, I think it's a good foot forward, but I can't vote for it in the way that it is right this moment, and I would like to be able to work on that as a group if we could.
All that has to be done is that for all of the council people to agree on a date and a time.
I just think it would be nice to discuss it as a group.
And pledge to be there. And pledge to be there. A work session so we can actually talk to each other.
Could we do that?
Yeah.
If you don't mind. I mean, I know the last time I made a motion, some people weren't able to be there, but I'd like for everybody to be able to attend if that's something we would like to do.
A date to propose?
I don't off the top of my head, but
Monday coming.
I'm okay with that.
So what, the
29.
Okay, and let's
can
say,
we make it a little, is that good?
Can I get a sense of what time you're talking about so
early,
I can see who's
could.
Available from the staff standpoint? Because it's, you know, we want to make sure that we're available so we can answer any questions that
right.
you may have.
Yeah, okay. Monday, April 20.
Natalie, are you here?
I have to check, I'm sorry.
Yep, check.
Okay, and we're talking about what?
The 29th, you're talking about?
One. I know, Dean, you can't do 5:30, right?
No, I can't do 5:30.
So we're talking 6 o'clock.
Can you do 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
Six is fine.
Does that work for everybody?
Is that by consensus then?
Just talking about the budget.
On April the 29th?
Can we?
Yeah, I mean, we can determine.
If Natalie can make it.
Yeah.
Is that for comment or just work session?
It's a work session.
We have a work session. And this is the irony. We can't talk about the budget unless we're here all together. We can't talk to each other unless we have work sessions.
No.
I mean, this is the conundrum. We have to discuss anything we want to do the budget in a public setting, and we do. And with all these decisions to make,
no,
I think.
Understand that. I'm just saying, is it going to be one where the public can talk or?
No, because we understand where if we can come up with a solution that allows for all this input to be affected, impacted, and do it, and still keep the town from being in dire financial straits, then I think we've done the best we can. And we can't figure that out by, just thinking. You've got to actually discuss it. And also, too, it will give the finance director, everybody here is getting a chance to hear the different department heads, get an idea, and that way when we have a work session, then they can then say, yes, I've looked into this, or no, this is new information to me, and get an informed opinion on the different ideas that are discussed.
So let me see who's available. Natalie? Jeff? Jane? I'm sorry?
I don't know.
Could you check your schedule, please?
I don't have
no. Could you see if Jamie would be available? Jamie, are you here?
Jamie was here.
He's here.
Jamie. Are you available? On the 29th of April for a budget discussion. You don't know. I need somebody from your department here, so if you could make that happen. Ivy? Dave? Engelhart? Tim? And I'll ask Arnold when I see him. So
make a motion.
Okay. I make a motion that we have a work session on April 29th at 6 p.m. to discuss the upcoming FY20 budget.
Okay. All in favor of the motion by Councilmember Tindall, say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Passes unanimously.
Mayor, are you taking any more comments on this?
No. We've got to finish the schedule because we've got the...
Let me ask the town attorney if he needs me to read this into the record, into the setting of the real property tax rate into the record.
You should. It's very short.
I know. It's like...
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Make a statement. I came here to make a statement, but I think everything's been said.
Thank you.
I think, I'm only speaking for myself because we haven't had a discussion about it. Larry, I know. I think you've had several opportunities, and some other people haven't had one.
Spoken.
I know. I'm just trying to be fair here. Please identify yourself, please.
Carol Rose, 307 Ann Drive. I have a really quick question for Councilman Tindall, who represents myself and my husband. I live in this district.
Yes, ma'am.
Friday, March the 29th, you did a radio interview, and I'm not quite quoting you verbatim, but you said that you were working very, very hard on all the budget reductions and so forth, and there may not be a tax increase, or if there was a tax increase, it would be very, very small.
Yes, ma'am.
It's March 29th, here we are, and you're asking for another budget session meeting to find more cuts. What have you found in your hard work all these weeks? What have you found that's been cut that's substantial that will make a difference?
Ms. Rose, we're in a shortfall of about $132,000.
I heard that.
I understand. I'm answering. I am. Yes, I am. And my colleagues and I each get the budget, and we each hear from our department heads. We've had the opportunity to hear from the people. We each go back and do our own work on that. But in order for us to be able to discuss those cuts, that's why I asked that we have a chance that we can talk and actually be able to go over that budget together, because I have some ideas, but I'm one of five, and I can't do it alone. The mayor can't do it alone, but I'm confident that we wouldn't have to go 29%, which is why I asked for that work session.
You're not answering my question. You specifically said you were working very hard to find things. What specifically have you been?
Ms. Rose, I don't have both budgets in front of me, but I have been working hard. I hope you come on Monday night, on the 29th, and I hope you're pleased with what I have been working on.
I'll be interested to see what you say on your Wednesday radio interview.
Thank you.
All right. We need to proceed because, yes.
I just have a statement. A couple of council meetings ago, you said nobody showed up. Well, we have a packed house tonight, and I just hope that the council and the mayor listens to what everybody had to say. It's packed here tonight. Now, people are leaving because it's getting late, but I just hope you listen to what the citizens of this town have to say.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, next is item four on our agenda.
Mayor, I think the town attorney wanted me to read this into the record.
Oh.
Very quickly. Okay. Ordinance 2019-03, an ordinance of the mayor and council of the town of Berlin, Maryland, a Maryland municipal corporation setting the real property tax rate. Whereas the town charter section C3-10 requires the mayor and council pass an ordinance setting the real property tax rate necessary to sustain the town's budget. And whereas the mayor and council have determined what the real property tax rate shall be, now therefore be it resolved by the mayor and council of the town of Berlin, Maryland, that the tax rate for fiscal year 2019-2020 shall be 88 cents per hundred of assessed real property value located within the town limits of Berlin, Maryland. Do you need me to read this ordinance introduced by? Okay. Public hearing scheduled for May 13th at 7 p.m. Here.
Now, the folks from Berlin Fire Company have been patiently waiting for their. They're going to give their quarterly update. That meeting is 6 o'clock on Monday, the 26th.
Let me just clarify. The public hearing for the tax rate is on May 13th in this room at 7 p.m. The mayor and council, just a few minutes ago, made a motion to have another work session on Monday, April 29th. Yeah,
6
at 6 p.m. in this building, in this room.
Sorry, you guys had to wait.
That's all we need.
This is the answer key, right?
Everybody, get settled here. And just so you know, after me, if not, if you have another copy, Laura needs one. If not, we'll run a copy. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Can I have a copy?
I think she and Tori can go through it now. That's fine. That's fine. Who knows? Go ahead.
Oh, is it the same as the? Then I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you have to do.
Kelsey, if you...
It's summer.
If you actually
wanted
this,
so
I can provide it to her electronically as well, but
he
said he
would
show
you.
All right.
You have the quarterly report.
His wife's taking off. He's not drinking. New medicine.
I'm good. Troy and I can share, it's fine.
Do we not hand enough across?
Didn't look like it. Don't worry about it. Next time.
Nope. Hand that up here. If somebody's short, hand that up here. That's the fire company one. We ain't got that far yet. No, we ain't got that far. Because I tried to hand it sometimes.
All righty. We're now going to have the quarterly report for the Berlin Power Company, and it will be for the period of what has taken place in the first three quarters of this fiscal year, which is from July 1 of 2018 through March 31st of 2019. And David, do you want to start the process?
Sure. I'm David Fitzgerald. I'm president of Berlin Fire Company and Berlin Fire Company Emergency Medical Services.
John Holloway, EMS captain.
Jim Perron, Berlin Fire Chief.
So we'll start with the emergency medical services. There's the calls for the first three quarters, as the mayor said, it's a three-quarter report. In-town calls, 792 calls into town limits, which is 59.19% of our total responses. Next slide is broken down between transports and non-transports, 590 transports and 202 non-transports. The busiest days so far, the first three quarters, have been actually not a weekend, but they're actually Mondays and Wednesdays, and the busiest time is still in the afternoon from 1 to 2. And then the time period is between 8 to 8 with the greatest number of calls for EMS. Our average response time, we do have a little better report this time through the state EMS system, 1.34 minutes. There still is no way to divide that out between the volunteer and the career staff, but it is still very reasonable at 1.34 minutes for all calls. That's whether it's first call, second call, third call, volunteer or career staff. I still make reference back to the matrix report. For a staff station, it should be 60 seconds or less. So with that number, I'm sure we are under that for our staff. Times. Then you have the revenue budget highlights, and your last pages are the spreadsheets, that, same as we provided before, that tell you where we are with the budget. The good news is our donations and annual donations have exceeded our expected revenues, so we're pleased with that. The invoices, we're at 86%. We're slightly over. We should be at 75% in three quarters, so that's also good. To know. Our collection rate remains about the same as it has been for the past few years. The county funds, we received 100% of our county funds, and we've received 75% of the town funds, and we thank you for advancing that payment the third quarter. We appreciate that, and that puts us at 75%. expense highlights, professional fees, as we've mentioned to you before, this is our first year of the Emergency Medical Services Incorporated. So as our legal counsel and our accountant continue to work on finishing up and following up as they need to do with the IRS to make sure we're 501c3 and helping with all the things that have to be done to make sure we are legal with all billing. Those continue to exceed the budget because we just didn't have a good number with that. Both of our agencies are very generous to us. Both local attorney and accountant provide donated services when they can, so we are greatly appreciative to that. The payroll and career staff is slightly above, and it's been due to shift coverage. We've had some shift coverage with people out, so we're slightly over the 75%. We're at 77%. Training, we're over the budget, which is a good thing. It says that our members want to go to training as well as volunteer incentives. It means the volunteers are participating in EMS. So that is a good thing, even though it's an over budget. We talked about this last quarter as well. The HVAC unit failed in the bunk room, so that was an unexpected repair that we did. And we've mentioned before the vehicle maintenance repair of the third ambulance. And they're not rotating that unit. The chief engineers decided it doesn't need to be in the rotation every 3 weeks. It's going to be rotated in a different schedule to try to continue the longevity of it. But as we put in the budget, that needs to be replaced during the next fiscal year. But we're just trying to do the best we can to not have it dependable when needed and not have it in the current three-week rotation. We mentioned before about the medical supplies, or not medical supplies, excuse me, the medical equipment maintenance repair, because we had cardiac monitors that had some battery lifetime and charger issues that we had to do. So we are slightly over with our expenses for 75%, but we hope we can continue in the last quarter to keep those within budget. So you have the detailed total and summary on your last two pages that aren't slides, and we'll be providing to you, as we discussed before, by May the 6th, the cash flow analysis. We want to close out April and get that this next payroll and get the retirement payments for April behind us so we can give you a most up-to-date report on May the 6th that show you exactly what the operating funds are available and what we'll need to have sent to us for the fourth quarter so we can continue to be fiscally solvent in the operating funds of EMS.
David, do we have an agreement for FY20 for coverage? Or does that – remember we signed the contract for services for FY19. Do we have something for FY20?
I did not bring that. I have Mr. Moore updating some things, and we certainly need opinion of mayor and council if there's something that you all want added while Mr. Moore is doing that. I just shared the things that we wanted to put in there is if – Some A, B, C items of what this report entails so that it's documented. It was generic before. It said quarterly report. So if there's something the mayor and council, please provide feedback so we don't have Mr. Moore doing multiple things.
I think we need to talk about the way that the payments are released so that we don't continue to have a area where we fall short.
And we'd like to provide documentation to you all with that so you can make an informed decision.
Yeah, my recollection was the schedule of payments was a function of a quarterly presentation of information. That's why you had like a payment coming in July. Typically, you can just journal entry those back, so there's not an accounting issue. But I believe they're having a cash flow problem. So to the extent that you want to make adjustments in that schedule, that's largely up to the mayor and council.
All right. So, and we were going to provide documentation, especially with the EMS, of that cash flow, so you would see that. So you can make an informed decision.
To the point that obviously this is our first year operating with all the agreements that we worked on for so long. Is it a practical matter that you need, that from a cash flow perspective, you need the quarterly payments about 3 weeks or 4 weeks earlier than the deadline we had established in those contracts?
Yes, I believe if we go back to, except for the first quarter, it may meet, I can't even talk, it's getting late.
Yeah, that's interesting.
may need to be in advance. It may need to be in July because there's not going to be no money in the bank operating funds in July. It may need to be more into July 15th or 20th to get us through those first few months, and then we could go quarterly up to the end of the year, and then we're going to have to look at something toward the end of the year. But I'd rather, instead of speculating here, I'd rather give you the hard numbers and let you, your staff and your accountant look over it and review it so you can make an informed decision.
And what I would ask is that, since we're obviously trying to get all to the same place, mm-hmm. when you get that information, if you and the your other leadership folks make a recommendation as what would work the best in the remainder of this fiscal year and going forward into the new fiscal year. We just, yep, you know, we're all going to learn as we go here. And if there's some tweaking we can do to make all this less onerous, but at the same time predictable, then I think we can get it all resolved.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Any questions?
Just one quick one. David, how many employees do you have under career personnel, please?
We have 12 full-time personnel and then part-time personnel fill in as needed. That's for the current fiscal year.
Thanks.
All right.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. All righty. Any other questions?
All right. He's passing out the fire companies. So.
Good.
I'm not sure if I should take one or not.
There's enough. I counted.
That's what that was about. I was like,
I'm sorry, Ms. Allen.
Yeah, we're good. Sorry.
I guess stapler issues were.
I'm glad you attached the financial information. So
the fire company. I'm sorry, it's not got all the way across.
Yeah, I'm just moving it.
Yep,
we can check.
When I looked up, I realized they were still passing paper.
You sure?
Thank you.
I'm good.
Thank you.
No problem.
For the fire company, for the three quarters from July to March, 114 fire and rescue responses, 44% are in the town limits. Average busiest days for the fire and rescue is Tuesday and Thursday, with the busiest time at 2 to 3 in the afternoon, and coincidentally equal to the EMS, the busiest time period is between 8 and 8 in the morning. The response time report we talked about last time, the county is providing a new reporting system. So the new reporting system is still in transition. So, you know, so we have full disclosure. That 3 minutes and 14 seconds time came from the new system, which is only February and March. As you recall, last time we said it, the numbers we had we thought were pretty high. So the new system does show 3 minutes and 14 seconds for February and March using the new system. And some of those call times are not in the system, and the county is working with a vendor on that. The county reviewed before has a response check time at 6 minutes. We don't usually get to that time unless it's a second call or it's a, you know, just a time of the day through the week where all of our members are working, and we do depend on some of our career staff to assist with that, and Chief's briefed on that before. The matrix report just kept that as a reference, 9 minutes or less, and the goal on page 32 of the report is 90 seconds, but that's only if we are a career, and we are not with the fire, we're volunteer. So we do make the 9 minute mark. So budget highlights on the fire side, again, the goal is 75% for three quarters. Fundraisers are below our mark, and we realize that, but now our hall is open, our foyer is complete, we're proud to say. If you ride by and look at that, we have a nice foyer lighted out there where people can come in, ADA compliant. So we are now renting our hall pretty actively, getting emails and applications almost weekly for the hall. So that is a good thing. So those will go up, and we'll reap those rewards next year. The county funds are at 100%. The town funds are only at 50%, and that's because the town agreement says the payment will be next week. So that'll jump up to 75%. The banking interest is slightly higher than we predicted, and that's a good thing. So expenses, talked about building maintenance before. The boiler project is actively ongoing. We're hoping to get all of our bids in later this month. So we've done some exterior lighting repairs that we had to do that were unexpected for safety and security around the building, and those were completed just a week or so ago, and the boiler repairs. Our insurance, we discussed before, it was higher than we had budgeted, and communications, we still probably going to have to buy some supplies for the new radio system. Fire prevention, we discussed that last quarter. Nothing's changed. Just the number of students, as you've heard the public talking about, the number of schools and things in the town limits and in our fire district, and we try to honor those requests. Fuel, it's up slightly higher. It's at 95%, and that's just our call volume is up a little bit. The calls that were going on, some of them have been lengthy hours out on calls and fuel with the trucks. The cost is about what we predicted, and also training. We have a lot of new drivers, which is good to have new members and members that we have in the fire company learning how to drive. So, of course, that takes fuel expense for them to get some behind-the-wheel experience. Fire equipment maintenance and repair. The last quarter, we did replace some ladders that failed tests, so we are slightly higher than the 75%. We're at 77% for fire equipment maintenance, and the gas meter repairs, the chief has those completed. So physicals in gym, slightly higher. Again, that's due to our new members. That's a good thing to have, that we're having members come in and apply as volunteers. So they have to get physicals, and they are provided a gym membership.
David, what is your current count of membership? Because that's something I think people have opinions all over the place.
Sure, about 60 members. It fluctuates between 55 and 60. You might have somebody resign, and you have somebody else come in. But we have had an influx over the past quarter of new members coming in. And we've had some resignations as well. People move out of the area and their jobs. Building improvements, roof and the boiler. As I mentioned earlier in the conversation here tonight, the boiler and the roof are actively in progress. We hope at our May meeting to award the bids. After review, we've got one of our very experienced members, Mr. Townsend, who's worked a long time in the building industry, is working on that roof and really grilling those contractors to make sure we get a good job at a fair price. As we said before, we're monitoring our budgets. What we've explained to you before in the fire budget, where you see overall where we're not at 75%. One of our fiscal practices, we don't run out on the first day of the year in July and buy everything that is supposed to be bought or everything that's in the budget, because we have these unexpected repairs and we have to manage our money at the end of the year. So that's why you see us not at 75%. As we get closer in the next month and we get these bids in, then you'll see the chief, some of the items that he had presented, they will go ahead and be purchased when we know we can fiscally do that. Oh, sorry, I went too far. Went into somebody else's presentation. So we certainly thank you for your time and the opportunity to present this. If you have any questions, you can get in contact with us. And we will get that fiscal report, make sure our accountant is aware of the deadline that I presented tonight for closing business on May the 6th to get the cash flow to you. And I'll follow Mr. Moore for the proposed contract as well as Mr. Berge for the cash flow so you all can make decisions on the disbursements of funds for next year.
Okay. Thank you.
I got a question. How do you do your recruitment now? Your recruitment?
The recruitment? Uh-huh. How do we do it? A lot of it's word of mouth. We do advertise on the LED sign, on the website. The state has an active recruitment thing. If you watch a lot of the commercials, Maryland State Firemen Association, there's a lot of commercials, more than you've probably ever seen in a long time, about recruitment. And then we always, it's funny where you get recruitment sometimes. We're out doing fire prevention, and even some parents will ask us about recruitment. Cadets, yeah, thank you, John. Cadets, bringing people up from the cadets, we've talked about that before. We hope that our cadets stay in the community, or if they go away to college, come back and work in the community and then come back into the fire service. And also the VOTEC program, the students every other year, they have an option at the high school to do the fire and rescue down at the vocational high school at Newark. So we hope that they take the training there, to get them interested, either career or volunteer you know, if they go career and work somewhere else, but then come back if they live in Berlin, volunteer with us.
That training's at no cost to the member, correct?
That's correct. The state of Maryland provides the cost of basic fire and EMS training. The training that we do have to pay for is if we go through Warwick Community College, if someone wants that certificate and specialized advanced training. But we're very fortunate in the state of Maryland that the University of Maryland Fire and Rescue Institute is paid for through the state tax dollars. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry for the little wait. We appreciate it.
No, I was just explaining they asked to be on the latter part of the agenda, so that's where that's how that landed. That's right.
All right.
Otherwise, they would have been in front of it because that's normally where we put our presentations.
All right. Do we have any departmental reports? You get a pass if you want one.
I'd be happy to take it.
Yeah, but if you have something we need to know, certainly speak up.
I just want to remind everybody of fall pickup on Wednesday, or trash pickup on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
For bulk pickup.
For bulk pickup. And the following, if you have trash pickup on Thursday, it's May 1st, Wednesday, May 1st. This is yard waste.
Great. Thank you. Yes. Anyone else? All right. Then we'll have the town administrator's report.
Right. So tonight we are honoring our electric utility and the great work that they do. Yes, let's give Tim and his crew a round of applause. The town recently received the RP3 designation from the American Public Power Association. RP3 stands for Reliable Public Power Provider. So really what this means is our electric utility is performing in the top 14% of their peers nationwide. And so this plaque is going to be presented by the mayor to Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence on behalf of the town. And Tim's going to accept on behalf of the crew. So thank you. Is we're doing our Berlin Cleanup Day this Saturday, April 27th, starting at 8:30. Today is Earth Day. This week is Take Pride in Berlin Week. The town has been doing this cleanup day for over a decade, and we're looking for individuals and teams to help with planting, weeding, raking, mulching, and whatever else needs attention in our parks. This is a great opportunity for students to earn service hours. Volunteers can sign up at one of the town parks on Saturday, at Stephen Decatur Park, Henry Park, or Berlin Falls Park. We're also working with the Department of Natural Resources to hold its backyard buffer tree giveaway. So if you're looking for extra trees to provide a buffer on your property, come. We'll have bundles of trees available for you. The Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee will be planting pollinator gardens at the park and offering information and tours. And a free lunch for all volunteers will be provided by the Kiwanis Club of Ocean Pines and Ocean City at Henry Park starting at 11:30 a.m. And that concludes my report.
So, sure. The Backyard Buffer Program, they do ask that you contact Mary Boland with the town to let her know that you would like trees, because it is, if they're reserved, they'll have them for you. If they have some extras, then it's open to the public. But.
Yes.
Laura, if... we usually do it. We pick a road every year that we do, that we drive in all the time and we don't like it. Do we still need to sign up at the park that we're going to do that particular road?
Do you want us to pick up the trash that you're pulling out of
yes.
it? So then you want to coordinate with Jane and Public Works to make sure that we have that? To the extent that you can sign up at the park, that's helpful because we know how many volunteers we've got.
Yeah. Right. And we want everyone to go ahead and sign up because Comcast is actually donating back to Worcester Youth and Family Counseling Service for every volunteer.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Natalie.
I have two things to add. For the budget meeting on Monday, I would like everybody email a question so we will be prepared to answer because we've gone through budget already and discussed the line items. I don't want to see repeat, basically. And I would like that tomorrow, so it will give me time to get prepared for Monday meeting. The second thing, for power cost for May, we have the lowest cost calculated and submitted to date for Public Service Commission. It's below 2 pennies.
Say that again, Natalie.
I'm sorry.
Say that again.
May billing will have the lowest cost for electric power below 2 pennies per kilowatt. It's been submitted today.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very good news. Thank you.
So that's it for me.
All right. I don't have any comments other than to thank everyone who came tonight. Now that most of them are not here, but those of you who remain, thank you for your participation and for coming forward. We can't know what you're thinking unless you tell us, and we appreciate it. Next is any comments from the council?
Real quick, while I'm a huge supporter of our department heads and our employees, I just want to know that there was some of us sitting up here in the council at the time when the sale for the electric plant came up. When we built our home, I spent the extra $10,000 to put a generator in there. The only thing I'm angry about is it rarely gets used. I want you to know that I think you guys do an outstanding job. I know electric is still difficult for me to understand. Yep. You can buy from California, ship it here. I don't get all of that.
Yep.
My work with the sheet has to do with printing presses. I don't know a generator from anything else, but you do a fine job. I think that needs to be said.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you.
Would also like to piggyback.
There we are.
You don't have a big bath like me.
No, I don't. I would also like to piggyback off the electric comment. Today I had a chance to witness 5 of your crew members replace a pole, and that was truly something interesting to see. And they did a great job. It looks awesome. And I got to see 2 of our new hires that were, I think, putting through school.
Yes.
Apprentices.
And, apprentices, and they did an excellent job. They worked well with the team. So.
Yep.
Kudos.
Appreciate it.
I'm still willing to run that truck, too.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, what they said, and I know we have a very fine electric department because the computer system that's in the main building where your trucks are housed.
Yes.
You showed me around one time, and I'm still amazed at what's in that building.
Yes, it's all solid state. It's that was one of the first things I tried to get completed when I came here was to upgrade the relay system. When I first got here, we had outages occurring every other day almost, it seemed like, and that was one of the big issues was the relay system. And by updating that, you see less outages and that type of thing.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I was amazed that you could pinpoint what section of town was out by just looking at your computer screen. I know it's more to it than that, but that's the way I saw it.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you.
I have 2 or 3 things. First, let me echo the congratulations to Tim for that outstanding achievement. I have to give congratulations to all of our department heads for the fine work they continue to do for this town of Berlin. And I hope I don't mess this up, but for the folks that have come and offered their input to this process, and share their thoughts and ideas, I want you to know that I greatly appreciate your input. I also want to say that for the most part, the input, I think, has been appropriate and received well. But some has been mean-spirited, and those comments I have a concern with, because it's not necessary. I feel it's not necessary. In my opinion, it's not necessary. And it's just not called for. And I hope she doesn't mind me using her as an example. But the young lady sitting here with the green shirt on, no one in this process has been more critical of us and offered more suggestions, legitimate suggestions, than I think she has. But her comments have not been mean-spirited, and I thank you for that. Of course, being mean-spirited is neither here nor there, because when it's all comes down to the bottom line, that is not really important. But when someone questions my integrity as to why and how I cast my vote, I have to take exception to that. You may not agree with how I vote or when I vote, but rest assured, my votes are my best vote at that time, and I would never improperly cast a vote for anything that was not above board and not ethical. And thank you for your, that's all I had.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
I certainly agree with what everybody said, and especially what you just said, Dean. Everybody thinks this is just, let's just say, not do it, and it's going to happen. But the bottom line is, it said we have to make the hard decisions, and this has got to be one of the hardest decisions that I've ever had to make up here, and probably in my life, as far as exactly what we need to do moving forward. But I know we need to stem the tide, find out what went wrong in the past, and make sure we don't repeat it in the future.
Thank you. Do we have any comments from anyone who's in attendance? Questions? Do we have any? Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Of your utility plants, because I think too many people don't know how they're run. I worked at a wastewater treatment plant, and I learned an awful lot doing that. And I think that too many people flush their toilet and don't know what goes on with that. And the same for me as far as electric and water. I have seen the water plant in Ocean City, but, and that would be beneficial both for the people and for you. Starting with kids should know.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it, Marie. Thank you. All right. Do we have any other comments or questions? Do we have any questions or comments from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Okay. We stand adjourned, and thank you again for your patience and for your participation.
Well, I don't feel bad.
It's a good thing because he ran the bike. Yeah.
for me.
Trying to make your night quicker.
I've been here for 3 years, and I finally decided.
Yeah, because